Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. It is Saturday morning, June the 4th, 2011. And I'm very, very grateful you chose to be with me. I have some dilly whopper of questions, as I like to say, and I hope that you will find them helpful and meaningful. If you'd like to know a little bit more about Aspire and what we're all about, or what I'm all about, as it were, I would be honored if you would come to my website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And when you get there, perusing around, I think we'll kind of tell you what it's all about. There's many things there to help you understand what Aspire is all about. There's podcasts and video casts and commentaries and even kind of an explanation of it all. So go take a look at aspire.org and it'll tell you all about it. Okay, let's go to the first question. This one comes from Lana in San Diego. I'm afraid or don't believe I really need a spiritual practice. Watching you on TV today, though, is interesting. What should I be feeling if I were to really need one? Lana. Oh, Lana, Lana, Lana. Everything has to appeal to our logic and reasoning, doesn't it? I mean, just everything we do has to appeal in some way to logic and reasoning. It's like looking, I guess, maybe at a man or a woman, and we look at them and we think, well, would I like to go to bed with you or would I not? Would I want to be married to you or would I not? We just have all of these logical questions that we believe, if answered, give us the right proportion of answer, I guess, or give us the right clue. And, you know, Lana, it's one thing to have a logical explanation for certain things that we do in the course of our lifetime, what it is we want or what we're going to choose off of a menu. It's something very different in a spiritual practice. You say, I'm afraid or don't believe I need a spiritual practice. Everyone is here to have a spiritual practice. Many are called, few are chosen, as the Master said. Most people don't realize their hair is on fire, as the Buddha said. And why are you laughing? That's his quote, his teaching. I'll tell you, yes, every one of us needs a practice, a spiritual practice of some sort. And that does not include religion or philosophy. It's about communing with love. It is about hanging around love, being so close to it that we start to find that the periphery of ourselves disappears into the very dance, the very touch, the very way of love itself. It is all about love. It isn't about people and objects and things. The only thing that really stands in our way is our thoughts and our philosophy. We're so filled with emotional fear and hate. You can't have emotion without hate, by the way. Understand that. You can't have emotions without hate being involved. So if you understand that, which you probably don't, you won't think you need a spiritual practice. So there you are. And I don't think one would sit well, very well with you at all. Not at all, because you're not willing yet. What is it Jesus said? You have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You have to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I don't hear that in your question, but I hear doubts. Doubts about whether or not you're sitting in the right place or asking the right question. I think you're doubting your inner posture, as it were. You say, but what should I be feeling if I were to need one? You would feel the pull to love. You would want it so badly. You would want it so distinctly. It would be so deeply important to you that you couldn't live without it. Now, that's obviously, Lana, not where you're at. And that's not where most people are at. Most people are eat, drink, and be merry. They just want to either get through or have a great time. Maybe have some happiness here, a little happiness there, but never have anything meaningful. They can only hear me out of their emotion. And if you only listen to me emotionally, you will miss everything I am trying to offer. My message is not emotional, Lana. If you watch Aspire, you'll see it's not an emotional message. It's not a philosophical message. It's more of a how-to. This is how you enter into the meaning of yourself and your own life, into your practice. This is how you do it. You don't do it through desire, ambition, and pride. You're never going to find happiness like you want to find it through emotion and passion. And this is what most people have to go through, a ton of emotion and a ton of passion. And they never quite really find the meaning of themselves as life. They go on and on and on in their life, getting through one difficult situation after another, which is caused by the emotional patterns they have set up for themselves and follow rigorously, religiously, and never find the authentic meaning of their life at all. Never find it. But they're not much interested in it anyway, because they have reduced life down to the quotient of their emotional IQ. And when I do that, I have no intelligence. Real intelligence comes from the heart, not the emotions. And the emotions and the heart are not one. Emotions come from the body. Most of us here are very touch deprived. We were deprived as children. We are skin touch deprived children. We didn't get what it was we really needed. We got too much adoration and not enough compassion, kindness. We don't even know what mercy is because we're not much interested in being merciful. You say, I might be interested in a spiritual path, and if I were, what would that kind of look like, eh? It would look like your life has brought you to a significant moment, not through obsession and compulsion like most people, not through passion and desire, but has brought you to a place where you can see that to take one more step without consciousness, without being aware and conscious, is a meaningless life. Totally meaningless. And to hunger and thirst after it is the deepest, most beautiful honor a person can have. Lana, I am not here on radio or on TV to try to talk you into a spiritual practice. That's not my gig. It's not something I'm interested in. You can't coerce people into a love. You can coerce people into fear, and from fear to fear. That's why churches are so big. They can coerce you. I think what you might be doing, and I could be wrong here because I've never met you, but I think you're thinking that I am like a church. That because I use the word God here and there, or I'm talking about the inner world, that I must be like a religion. I'm not. And if you're doing that, you're missing me. Again, missing me. I'm not here to coerce you into a spiritual practice. You must want nothing with all of your heart. You must see the validity of it all beyond the concepts and theories you might have about what's right and wrong and good and bad. So, understand something, Lana, that because I'm not here to try to get you into a practice, you shouldn't be sitting there wondering if I am. Just listen to me. And if in your listening you can drop your emotional environment for a few moments, and you can sit and just be with me in the moment, you might find that what you and I have together, we share together, it is very beautiful. It is called That Moment on TV or This Moment on Radio, where you truly, authentically get it. You go, oh, we have transcended time and space together. We have come to a moment that is beyond conceptual belief and theory. And we feel the oneness thing that is so important. Most people see me or hear me and run. They're very afraid. They don't want their little emotional lives disturbed, because when you stir up emotion, you take away a person's quote-unquote happiness or their familiarity, their breeding ground for hate and fear. And God forbid that we ever get rid of any of that. And that's why most people never come to work with me who hear me. But the few that do, they make some deep progress. So, Lana, don't knock on my door till you're ready to enter into your door. Please forgive me. Namaste. Spiritual path. It isn't philosophy or religion. Can't read a book about it. Can't watch a few videos on it. You know, everything I do here on radio and on TV is just an invitation to you. Think of it as a mere invitation. Whether or not you come into this work and this practice with compassion and love is up to you. You have to have a tremendous sense of pull to want love more than wanting what you think love is. Very, very powerful. Tim is the next person. I don't know where Tim lives. He didn't tell me. Where do I go to find my fear? The core of it. I'm very, very concerned, Tim. Well, Tim, where do you go? Look at your emotions. They're there. Our emotions are nothing but fear. I want you to consider something for a moment, Tim. You and I have human emotion, okay? And it comes from, as I said a little earlier, being skin touch deprived as children. We get connected to our emotions because we didn't get touched, we didn't get nurtured. Now, there's a difference between being spoiled, rotten, and being touched and nurtured. There's a vast difference. And I can't even begin to tell you what that would look like. I mean, the difference, but I can give you a few little hints. It would be about feeling the essence of yourself beyond your body and beyond your mind, and using your mind as a way to discipline the emotions inside that we have about our own survival and our safety and our security and all that other garbage that doesn't exist, and put it away for the sake of exploring the real feel of our life, which is the heart. Now, I don't know about your mother and father, but my mother and father never talked about the meaning of life, ever. I don't think they had any idea what the meaning of life was, but I was very curious as a child about that. So you have to understand something. There is something beyond emotion. Fear comes from my emotion. I feel it all the time. It's pounding at the door behind the scenes here all the time in Gregory. He is constantly being bombarded by the idea that if you don't do this, this will happen. If this happens, then that will occur. And then if that occurs, we're not here anymore. Or will die, or whatever. And he has lots of stories he likes to tell me about what will happen if I don't do this and if I do that. He has loads of stories. But none of them are true. All of them are about what I believe in, what I want, what I think, and what I believe. And all of that is a compensation for being skin touch deprived. It is all a compensation for not really having anything mature in me. Now, most people will go their whole life and never question this process, Tim. In fact, they can't even understand what I'm talking about most of the time on TV and or radio because their emotions are so much in control of their life through fear and hate. And hate is rationalized fear. So the deal is, when you're listening to me, you can't really hear what I'm teaching you because there's so much fear involved in hate. Everything has to revolve around what my emotions can handle. Now, if I live this way, I'm not living very intelligently and I'm not living very well. I'll never forget, Tim, my first experience in India. I was barely 21 years old, and I'll never forget looking around at the airport, all of the strange people. I did not consider myself on an adventure at that time. I looked around and thought I had made a terrible mistake by being there. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I looked around and I went, holy God, what have I done to myself? This was horrible, what I've done. What an idiot I've been. My emotions started pounding me because I was out of my emotional environments, the comfort of it and the familiarity of it. But thank God I was rescued by the boys who recognized me for what I was and that I did not know. Took me away and showed me how to be more open by dropping my emotions and my need for comfort for the sake of the adventure of finding love. If I had not met them, if I had not had that divine rendezvous, I doubt highly I would be sitting here talking to you, much less have the honor of teaching. So I am telling you out of vast experience here, if you want to find your fear, the core of it, you have to find it in your emotions. And if you find it in there, then it's simply a process of no longer inviting emotion, acting on emotion, or living emotionally. It's merely the compassion to live beyond emotion, to the real feel of my heart, to persevere beyond emotion and into the heart of my living. Blessed are the pure in heart, as Jesus said in the Beatitudes, for they shall recognize God. Tim, persevere, work upon yourself, meditate. I have lots of meditations on my website you can get involved in, and all of them will help you, every single one of them. Please forgive me. Namaste. I wonder if he'll do it. Most people are worried about their freedom. They think, oh, I have to be free. Well, you can have a government that gives you freedom, but have no inner government that allows for freedom. You're not free. You and I, if we're governed by our emotions, can only do what our emotions tell us to do. We can't go outside the box of that. Whatever makes people think they're free. We are not free until we are free from our emotions. Last question comes from Harris, and he lives in San Francisco, and he listens to us via the website at aspire.org. You can go there, and if you hit media, you can listen to past programs. I want to be forgiven, he said. I've done some ugly things in my day, but my pride will not allow it. What should I do, Harris? Harris, you are a very beautiful person. To be able to say that is very beautiful. And you've taken the most difficult step to acknowledge the emotions of pride, vanity, which keep you from, I guess, apologizing to people that you need to apologize to. But listen to me. Apologize. And do it quickly before your emotions can catch up with you. Don't let your emotions get away with this. Do everything you can in your life to let love be possible in you, to let love live you. And if that means that you lose your pride, then do it. Because the power and the value of love far exceeds anything your pride and vanity could give to you. Humble yourself before anyone who needs to receive the offering of your apology. And look at it as a merciful state, something you do that is extremely merciful and kind. If you do that, if you can be merciful, and if you can be kind, you can be available. And if you're available, then love can reach you. It also, forgive me for saying this, cleans up our karma and makes it possible for us to experience something beyond just our emotions and passions, as I was saying to Tim. It allows you to go even deeper and further into your heart and soul. It allows you to have a life worth living and a meaningful life worth living. So if you're of the ilk of trying to really understand the nature of love, it will be because you have moved beyond the idea of your pride and vanity. What is my pride? Oh, it has something to do with the arrogance and self-importance of my ego. What good is that? My ego does nothing but cause me nothing but misery, suffering, and misunderstanding. I never get the communion with people or myself when I'm in that kind of state. So don't go there. Forgive. You must forgive yourself first, and then maybe you can go to the person who you have hurt and say, please forgive me. I ask for forgiveness after every program and every TV offering I have. In fact, almost everything I do. Why? Because I'm a Goomba. Because I slaughter the truth at times with my words. I don't all the time elevate you or help you elevate yourself. Sometimes in my effort to help you, I've been clumsy, maybe even unkind. So I always ask for forgiveness because my motive is true. But I can't always say that my words are effective. So in everything I do, I am open to being forgiven. Be forgiven. Forgive yourself first, Harris. Then go, if you can, and ask for forgiveness from others. And if they can't forgive you, which most people cannot, don't be worried about it. That's their gig. Yours was to forgive yourself and to offer forgiveness to them. And if they cannot go there, they cannot go there. They know not what they do. Don't let other people's hatred be your problem. Please forgive me. Namaste. Yeah, that's a real issue with people. It really is. You know, they think if they're not forgiven by someone who they've hurt, that they're not forgiven. But you are forgiven if you can forgive you, if you can let it all go. If you have a comment, a question, something I might be of service to you with, I would be honored if you came to the website at aspire.org. And if you get there, it's very, very simple. Just go to media and then go to radio program. And then if you hit that, the radio program button there, it will take you to a wonderful place where you can email me. There's a little Buddha there on a computer. You can email me any topic, any question you like, and there's a little video there about the radio program. It's all there if you want to watch it or not. It's all there to help you understand what Aspire is all about. And I hope you do offer me your question. I have a second part to the first part of the Beatitudes this month that is available. I have never offered a series quite this powerful to people who I am surprised, don't know anything about the Beatitudes. I am really surprised. But what I'm even more surprised about is most people's indifference to it. I've received some beautiful comments from people who have gotten the series. If you would like the second part to the series, or the second and the first part to the series, because you're going backwards, which most of us are, I would be honored to send it to you. Go to the website at aspire.org. Go to catalog section, if you would, please. And then you'll see Aspire TV series, meditation CDs, ambient music, newsletter, and finally, discourses. And if you touch that with your mouse, you will see Beatitudes pops up. You can click on that and read what other people have said about the series, as well as my own comments about it, in order safely and securely from there. Any of the discs you want, they're there to be of service to you. I think you'll find the Beatitudes one of the most powerful and beautiful series I've ever done. What are the Beatitudes? They are a language of spirituality, much like Lao Tzu used in the Tao Te Ching. They're extremely interesting and very effective, and they will show you exactly what a spiritual path is really all about, what to expect on it, and how you need to treat it. It's really all there for us if we want it. So go take a look at the catalog section and the Beatitudes. I think you'll find them most helpful. Really, I do. I'm very honored to be able to have them there. I'm grateful you listened to me this morning. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning, Sunday, at 9:04. Right now I'm at the Carl Cherry Center having discourse and kind of a talk with my students as they tell me what's going on. We have a great relationship at times with this practice. So I'll be bringing up a subject and helping them understand the nature of what it is to live a little more playfully, a lot more consciously, and with some heart and soul. You're welcome to join us anytime you like. Carl Cherry Center, 4th and Guadalupe here in Carmel. I'm out of here. See you tomorrow morning at 9:04. Please forgive me. Namaste.